we begin today. You have heard about a church build that we are going to be participating in honor of SL and Joyanne Williamson. This is going to be in Brazil where they served on mission. And so if you want to give towards that, you can make a check out to Barnabas Ministries and place it in the offering boxes as you leave today. Or you can go on our website and there's a place there that you can mark for that to go on the memo line for this church build. And the amount of money we're trying to raise is $13,000, and this will be a new church building for a church that's already meeting together in Brazil. Our senior adult luncheon is not this Thursday, but next Thursday, but the sign-up is in the lobby, and we need for everyone who wants to attend to sign up so that we know how many people to prepare food for. It is going to be here at Luke 4:18 in the fellowship hall on Thursday, May 23rd. The cost is $10, and we look forward to having a great fellowship together on that day. The baby bottle campaign for the Women's Resource Center begins today. There are baby bottles in the lobby on the go table, so you can pick up one of these and collect change in them or write a check and return it to us or in whatever way you want to do, bills, dollars, checks, whatever you want to do. But we want to support the Women's Resource Center, and this is one way that you can involve your family in collecting money for this and keep that ministry going. We're going to collect these and return them on Father's Day. So you have just over a month to make your decision on how much you're going to do for that and bring that. When you return it, you can return it to the go table as well. We're looking for host homes for our Connect Camp college students who are coming to serve this summer for 1 week. If you're willing to open your home and have college students in your home, they're actually going to be up here working 12 hours every day. So they're just going to sleep there. But we do need places for them to sleep. So if you have a spare bedroom or two and you're willing to host some of our workers who are coming in for our outreach this summer, we need for you to sign up to do that. We're also looking for people to help serve half a day, any day. And so we need about 40 more people to say they're willing to serve that week for this outreach. And so if you need more information about that, the Connect table is out in the lobby, and you can find that out for sure. For the guys who went to the men's retreat, Brother David said that he was going to get a prayer journal for every one of you. Those are at the welcome table. You can pick those up. They have your name on them. So if you attended the men's retreat, those prayer journals are out there. I'm really excited to announce the Alaska mission team is 20 people. And in the lobby today, you can see this picture of these. These are the ones who are going to be raising funds to go to Alaska. So if you would like to help send someone on this mission trip to serve with our partner in Anchorage, you can see me about how to do that, or you can see any one of these individuals, but you can write a check, put their name on it, and turn it in. If you have questions about how to support and send one of our people going on mission, see me after the service today. But also, we put this out there because we want encouragement cards. We want them every day while they're serving to get a card and open it up and read a Bible verse and know that the body of Christ here is supporting them while they're on mission serving there. And so at this point, you still have a month and a half to write those cards. If you wait until a week before, you're going to say, I just couldn't write but a couple of cards. I didn't have enough time. So I'm telling you today, you have enough time. If you write one card a day, you'll be done with weeks to spare. And so I encourage you, it doesn't have to be a fancy card. It can just be a folded piece of paper. But to know that the body of Christ is praying for us while we serve the Lord is an encouragement and a way for you to be part of us, or part of this team while they are on mission. Finally, I want to welcome today the Mission of Hope. We are so excited that they have joined us for worship. Let's welcome them. What a wonderful ministry and what a wonderful opportunity for them to join us in worship today. Take some time if you get a chance to speak to them and make sure that they know that they are welcome. Let me pray as we begin our worship today. Lord God, you are so, so good. And as we gather in this room, Lord, we look to you. We ask for you, by the power of your Spirit, to indwell us, to join us. Lord, may our hearts be tuned to that still small voice. Lord, as we sing your praises, may our affections be drawn to you. Lord, everybody in this room has trials and issues, and Lord, we all need you. And we come together to sing your praises, to open your word, to hear of your goodness, so that we might be reminded of your great love for us. Lord, we do pray for every mother in this room, everyone who has had the opportunity to invest in children. Lord, we just pray that they would be encouraged today. For the mothers in this room that are hurting, Lord, we pray that grace would meet them. But Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done in this place. Lord, as we worship you, draw our attention and our affections to you. May the trials of this world fade away, and may the glory of God prevail in this place. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. We ask these things in the strong, sufficient name of your Son. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. Excuse me. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're a guest with us today, we have welcome cards that are right there in the seat back pocket. If you need a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship, about membership, or how you can serve, we'd love for you to fill that out and put that in one of the offering boxes at the back of the room. Today, we join in worship. We celebrate who our God is and what he has done for us, and we carry it forward to Mobile and to the ends of the earth. Amen? Let's stand, and why don't you welcome someone around you to Luke 4:18 Fellowship today. Amen. It's a great day to praise the Lord. He is our King. He is our God. We trust him. Josh, would you lead us?
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord?
Our God is love.
That's the God we serve, isn't it? That when we encounter trials of various kinds, we can have joy knowing that He's going to be there for us. That He's going to be right beside us, carrying us through this life. We can come to Him again and again and again. Let's run to the Father today as a congregation. Let's sing this together. I've carried a burden.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone.
Amen.
I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. Sing with me. Run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition,
had a plan from the start.
Your Son for redemption.
Sing this.
The price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart certain, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again.
As we continue in worship today, God, we need you and we love you. Thank you for this opportunity to praise you today.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing. Children, now you are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer.
Amen.
You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers and I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
Amen. We know that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Your Holy Spirit is within our hearts. I pray that we would do your good will as your new creation.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Sing that one more time.
Come and fill me again.
Amen. We'll pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would fill us with your love and with your joy, your peace. You've given us all these things, salvation. But we know that we are seeking to be more like you each and every single day. Because we know that the days are short. We know that we will see you face to face one day, and we pray that we would say, I gave it all to you. I gave you my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, my time, my tithe. Everything is yours. The family that you've given to us is yours. We pray that we would be faithful in parenting or being a child of guardians or parents, Lord. We pray that each and everything that we say and each and everything that we do would just be directed toward you, that we would turn our eyes to you today, that we might not sin against you, that we would have your word in our hearts, and that we would remember those that you've put in our lives to be mentors, to reflect your glory to us, that we might reflect it to others. Love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a song that has just followed you around everywhere? You just hear the lyrics over and over and over again. Well, this past week, our pastor has been saying the same thing over and over. He's been saying, life is just a vapor. Life is just too short. And he's saying that in that he wants to take advantage of every moment. And I know that you want to as well. And I heard this song. It's called Almost Home. It's talking about heaven. And I said, well, I love that song, but I don't want to sing too many songs about heaven or else I'll be of no earthly good, right? But I just feel like we sing songs about heaven, not just for the streets of gold, but knowing that our Savior is there and knowing that that's our end and our finish line, right? If the finish line's close and you're running the race, are you going to run slow? I don't think so. So when we think of heaven, we need to think of that finish line. And that's this song here. We want to teach you this song so that we can start singing it together. And this is called Almost Home.
Don't drop a single anchor, we're almost home. Through every toil and danger, we're almost home. How many pilgrim saints have before us gone? No stopping now, we're almost home. Promised land is calling, we're almost home. And not a tear shall fall, then we're almost home. Make ready now your souls for that kingdom come. No turning back, we're almost home. Shore. Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home. This journey ours together, we're almost home. Unto that great forever, we're almost home. What song a new will sing round that happy throne? Don't faint of heart, we're almost home. Yes.
All the trials of this life, the horrible things that we see going on in our world, they're nothing that can even compare to the glory that we find in Christ, knowing that we will be with Him forever. And that's why we sing. That's why we meet together, because we have a good God who has good things for us to do for Him. Sing this together.
This life is just a vapor. We're almost home. That sun is setting yonder, we're almost home. Take courage, for this darkness shall break to dawn. Oh, lift your eyes, we're almost home.
Sing it with us.
Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home.
Amen.
Well, happy Mother's Day. If you didn't know it was Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. You know, I say that, and some of you are like, how could you not know? Well, I'll never forget when Brother Fred and I was the associate pastor, and he had told me, he said, David, you're going to preach, and here's the dates that you're going to preach. And on Saturday night, one night, I get a phone call, and he says, you're not preaching tomorrow. I said, why not? And he goes, because it's Mother's Day. And I said, okay. That's been on the calendar for a long time, Brother Fred. He goes, yeah, but I just realized it. I said, okay. He said, I need to preach on Mother's Day. I said, well, you got this. And but I pray that you're having a blessed day. It really is a joy to celebrate mothers and how they have impacted our lives. You know, I just want to mention, as I believe Brother Randy mentioned earlier in the announcements, that for some of us, this is an amazing day that we celebrate and are so thankful for our mother and all that they did in our lives. But for others, this is a painful day. It's a painful day because they've had a desire to conceive and have not been able to, or their mother has passed away and it reminds them of their loss. Or it could be that your mother was absent in the raising of you, and it brings back difficult memories. And so on a day like today, we need to recognize that there are multiple emotions that are taking place. And we need to be sensitive to one another, that we may encourage each other. Whether today is a day of greatness and happiness and excitement, or whether it's a day of sadness, we need to come alongside one another. We need to support one another, and we need to rejoice together, knowing that God is on the throne no matter what we're walking through today. We need to remember that there's no perfect parents. I have learned that 12 years ago. 12 years ago yesterday was Emmy was born, and I realized real quick I was not a perfect parent. There are no perfect parents. Only God is perfect. And so let's seek Him today on this Mother's Day. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. Some of you know that verse 4 and 5 are the Shema. Shema Israel, right? It's the what they quote even right now over in Israel, the Jewish nation, something that they are very, very dear to their heart is verses 4 and 5. I've preached on it before. You may remember the moment that I had my daughter up here, and it was about listen and obey, and she was to fall backwards. Y'all remember that? And then I got out of the way, and she still fell backwards. It was this listen and obey. Today, we're going to look at the full passage from verses 1 through 9. And as I was preparing my message, I went back and just kind of looked at some of the discussions and some of the messages that Adrian Rogers spoke on this passage. And come to find out, there was 9 messages that he spoke on this. And all 9 of those, I believe all 9, maybe 8 out of 9, were all about parenting. And I was like, man, like maybe I've missed this sometimes because I focus so much on 4 and 5 that I forget verses 1 through 9 and the idea of parenting. And so let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it. It may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your father, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals of your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let us pray. Father, you are a good, good Father, and we thank you for your word and your truth. And Father, I pray today that you would speak through your word to us, that it would go into our hearts and that we would live this out, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing today. And I pray, Lord, that we would hear and obey what you are speaking. And Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this moment, Moses is speaking, and he's kind of giving this overview here to the nation of Israel. Now, a new nation has arisen, right? Or arose. How? Why? Because of their lack of faith previous when they sent in the spies, and only 2 came out, and they said, "Hey, we've got this." And the rest of them said, "No, they're too big, and we can't do this. Let's go back to Egypt, and let us die there." And the Lord said that they're going to wander in the desert until the nation that was ultimately doubting and looking at the circumstances and not at their God, he said, "Y'all will die in the desert, but a new generation will rise up." And now Moses is giving, ultimately Deuteronomy is multiple messages by Moses to the new nation of Israel, the young generation that has arose in the desert, that was born. And he's sharing with them the importance of keeping God's command as they go into the nation, into the promised land. He reminds them of the journey of their fathers. He reminds them of coming out of Egypt. He reminds them of the Red Sea. He reminds them of the law. He reminds them of the fact that the families before had doubted. And now he's telling them to serve God and God alone. He gives this and he says, "Now this is the command, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord has commanded me, Moses, to teach to you, the nation of Israel." There's 3 things that I want us to see as we look through this passage. And some of you say, "Well, David, I got the Bible app and it didn't have the points." The reason is because there's so many points that if you saw that, you wouldn't have come this morning. So we just held out on giving you the points. But the first thing I want us to see is that we're called to live out this command. In this, it says in verse 1, it says that you might do them, that you might live them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God. In living out this command that God has given first, it brings about a reverence. Remember this idea, the fear of the Lord. That fear is not the fear that you would think of standing at a tall mountain looking over and, oh no, I'm fearful of heights. That fear in the Greek or in the Hebrew is a reverence to God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Moses is telling them, hey, when you follow in the commandments that I'm giving you, you're going to have reverence to the Lord. You're going to have fear of the Lord that you may submit to that which he is speaking. But then we see on down in verse 2, it says, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord and to keep all his commandments, which I command you. So there's a response. We see that when we live out, there is reverence to the Lord. We see that there is also a response to keep all that he has commanded. That which I command you today is to keep all. John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Churches, Moses is speaking ultimately to the fathers. He's telling them, hey, you must have reverence of the Lord. You must respond accordingly to the commands that I'm giving you. And then the third thing that we see in the last part of verse 2 and verse 3 is that there's a reward for doing this. What is this reward? All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen, be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. There's a promise to the fathers that when they are obeying, when they have a fear of the Lord, when they're walking in the commandments of God, that there will be a prolonged life. Let me just remind you too that Galatians 6 tells us that God will not be mocked. We shall reap what we sow. So I've heard a lot of people tell me that they thought that they could show God that's not true, that they could outsmart him, that they could do this over here but yet receive the blessings of God. And finally they came to their senses. They had that aha moment and they realized that if I want the blessings of God, it requires me to follow God. People tell me all the time, David, we want the blessings of God, but we want to do it our way. I'm telling you, God will not be mocked. You shall reap what you sow. This is why in Deuteronomy 28, Moses also speaks to the nation of Israel again. And at the beginning, the first half of this chapter, you can go home and read it. But in the first half, it says, when you walk in obedience to the commands, when you fear the Lord, when you keep God first in your life, you will have blessings upon blessings upon blessings. But if you neglect him, if you seek after other gods, if you begin to put other gods before the God of Israel, the great I am, then the reward that you will receive will be a curse. I tell my kids all the time, I say, listen, there's consequences for every action of your life. Some are good and some are bad. Now, I realized that I had to help them understand this idea of consequences, because when I first told my son and daughter, I said, this was a couple years ago, I said, hey, listen, you do realize there's consequences for every action of your life. And they said, but what if I do something right? Isn't consequences bad? And so I had to explain, because usually whenever they were getting in trouble, I said, listen, there's consequences for your actions. But I never told them there's also consequences for walking according to the word of God. And what does he say in the scripture? He says there will be blessings upon blessings. Now, for some of us, you may have heard different things like the prosperity gospel. I do not believe that that's scriptural, because Ephesians chapter 1 says that for those who are in Christ, they have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And when you go through that scripture, verses 2 all the way down to verse 14, you see this many material blessings, zero. But what you do see is the spiritual blessings that have been applied to you, that you've been chosen, that you've been predestined, that you have an inheritance, that you're called a child of the living God. I don't know about y'all, but I would much rather have all of that than the material things of this world. And so Moses is telling them, hey, listen, fathers, parents, you're called to live out the command that God has given you, the commands that God has given you. And in doing so, you're going to have a fear of the Lord. You're going to have a reverence. In your household, there's going to be a reverence to the Lord. There's going to be a focus on the Lord. There's going to be a response. There's going to be a change in your life because your family is going to see you living according to God's word. And there's going to be a great reward. So what is this command that he gives us? Well, he gives us this command in verse 4 and 5. And for those who don't know, Jesus even says that the greatest commandment is this. Quoting the Shema in verses 4 and 5, Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and for some of the scriptures it says with all your might, but with all your strength. And so Jesus says the greatest of all the commandments is this, the Shema. What is the Shema in verses 4 and 5? It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Let's just look at that first. Hear, O Israel. The word hear, listen, right? We've discussed this before. What does that word hear mean? It means to listen, but it also means to obey. So ultimately, in the Hebrew, if you're not obeying, then you're not what? Some of y'all are listening. If you're not obeying, then you're not listening. I can't tell you how many times when I first got married, I was watching ESPN. And my wife would tell me something. And I would say, uh-huh. The problem is I didn't know what I had just uh-huh to. And then when I didn't do what I told her I would do, she said, you weren't really what? But I was to ESPN. I just wasn't listening to her. The scripture here shows us that to truly listen is going to be shown in the act of obedience. So here God is saying, hear, O Israel, listen to what I'm going to say. And if you're truly listening, then you're going to be walking in obedience. Then he says, the Lord is our God. He's talking about the nation of Israel. The Lord, Yahweh, is the God of Israel. But then he goes on and he says, the Lord is one. Now there's two major things that you need to hear here. One is that he's talking about the Trinity. The fact that we have Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. Now you may say, David, can you unpack that for us? Man, listen, I'll do my best, but at the end of the day, let me just tell you, God is a whole lot smarter and greater and bigger than I am. And I'm okay with not fully understanding God, because if I could fully understand God, he'd be no God at all. And so he's saying the Lord is one. But let me just tell you, he's also saying that there is no other God. There's one. Yahweh, the great I am, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, there is no other. Isaiah says from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same that you are the Lord God and there is no other. Now you may have little g gods in your life, but let me just tell you, the little g gods that you've made gods in your life are no gods at all. It's so interesting that you see throughout the scripture how literally people would turn from the God of Israel to the gods that they made with their own human hands. Think about in Acts chapter 19 when Paul comes into Ephesus and the Demetrius, the silversmith, is like, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And he's all upset because he's creating these little statues of Artemis and people aren't buying them because they're getting converted. They're coming to know Jesus. Church, do you not realize that when we go after other gods of this life, we're literally exchanging the God of the universe, the one who breathed life into us, the one who created the heavens and the earth, we're exchanging him with things made of hands. Listen, he is the creator God. We are his creation. It says he is one. There's no other gods. And then it says this in verse 4, you shall love the Lord your God. I love what one commentary says. I think it was Merrill who said this, that obedience is construed as love or is spoken as love. That is, to obey is to love God with every aspect and element of one's being. When it says this here, you shall love the Lord your God. He's saying that loving God is walking in obedience of the command that's being given. We also see that all throughout the scripture where it says that he who loves me will what? Obey. He who keeps my commandment is the one who what? Loves me. But then it says not just love God, but love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So in this Shema, we're called to love, right? The first thing we saw in the passage is that we're called, living. We're called to live it out. We're called to love God, right? And in that is the heart, soul, and mind. So first, let's look at the heart. The heart in the Hebrew is the intellect or the mind, the rational part of the body. And we're called to love God with all of our heart. Now I want to take just a moment. There was three kings over the nation of Israel before the kingdom split. And when the kingdom split, Jeroboam, Rehoboam split the kingdom, right? That was Solomon's children. But before that, there was Saul, there was David, and there was Solomon. Now Saul, if you've ever done walk through the Bible, it talks about their heart. Saul had what type of heart towards God? No heart. David had what? A full or whole heart towards God. And Solomon had half a heart towards God. Now, what are they speaking about in walk through the Bible to help you remember that? Well, Saul, ultimately, his heart was not towards the things of God. David, his whole heart was for God. You may say, but David was also an adulterer. He was a lying murderer. That's true. We see that in the story of Bathsheba. But here's the interesting thing, the difference between Saul and David. When Saul was confronted by Samuel, instead of falling on his face in humility, he gripped the power and the crown stronger. But David, when he was confronted by Nathan, fell on his face and said, "Woe is me." David recognized that before God and God alone, he had sinned. David sought out repentance from God. Listen, the reality of it is this, is that there will be times in our lives that sin comes into our life, but if your heart is totally God's, then you're going to find yourself in repentance and humility before him. Solomon had half a heart for God. Why? Because he started off wanting the things of God, but then he had a whole lot of wives, which means he had a whole lot of mother-in-laws. I'm not going there. But all that to be said, he began to follow the false gods of all these wives that he had. And because of that, he began to put these little g gods over the God of Israel. Church, to have a whole heart means that 100% of your heart is God's. If 1% is something else, then you don't have a whole heart for God. But let me remind you that just because you have a whole heart for God doesn't mean you're not going to walk in sin. The question then is, how will you respond when the Lord shows you that there's something in your heart that's not of him? Will you respond as David did in Psalm 51? Will you repent? or you respond as Saul did, clenching the crown and the power and defensive before God. Then we see not just a whole heart, all your heart, but it says all your soul, all your soul. This word soul, as Adrian Rogers put it, the soul in the Hebrew is the word for life, which means he's saying here that we are to love God with all of our life, all of our will, every bit of who we are. I love what Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says. Jesus then said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. If you're going to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love the Lord your God with all your soul, that means that you have to deny yourself. You have to lay yourself down, your whole life. And then I love what he says. Then you take up your cross and you follow me. Verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The command that leads us to reverence to God, that we're called to live out, that gives us a reward. This command is to love God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then lastly, it says with all your strength. In the Hebrew, that means the physical side of things. But I love, as I just mentioned, Adrian Rogers goes deeper in this understanding, and he says that we're not just called, if you have physical strength, you're called to love him with all your physical strength, but you're called to love him with all your emotional strength. You're called to love him with all your financial strength. You're called to love him with all your intellectual strength. You're called to love him with all your influential strength. You're called to love him in every aspect of your life. Anything that makes you mighty, you are called to love the Lord through that. It's not just physical strength, but it's all the things that bring you strength in life. So when we look at this passage, we recognize that we are called to live this out, and we're also called to love God, this command, all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You may say, well, David, how does this all affect parents? Well, remember, Moses is ultimately talking to the parents who's going to be raising up a new generation. There's a new generation already raised up. He's talking to them. They're going to be raising up a new generation. And he's telling them that you must have reverence to the Lord. You must recognize that you're to walk in response or obedience. You're called to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, or all your strength. And then he says this in verse 7. You shall teach them. You shall teach them. So what are we as parents called to do? Well, we're called to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and we're called to teach them. Who's them? Our children. We're called to teach them. Now, what I wanted point number three to be was teach, but it didn't go with all the L's, so I put learning. So we're called to teach our children to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. We're called to teach our children that we are to have a reverence towards God, that we're to respond accordingly, and that in that there's a great reward. But he tells us here in verse 6 and on how to teach the children. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. The first way that we teach, the first way that the children learn, is by us speaking the word. What does he say here? He says, you shall teach, you shall speak this to your children. If we truly love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, we're going to want and desire to share this with our kids. And one of the ways is with our words. One of the things that I've learned in parenting is that it's real easy to say no, 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 no all the time, right? Sometimes we focus more on the things they're doing wrong than telling them about what they're doing correct. And one of the things that I've had to work in my parenting, I told you there's no perfect parenting, is that I've had to literally say, okay, I'm going to look for every opportunity to tell them how they're walking according to the truth, or how they're doing this correctly, or that what I see in them and how they're growing, instead of always being negative, negative, negative. But that requires discipline. Church, we are called to speak and to teach our children the ways of the Lord. Now, I love, as the scripture speaks in the book of Romans, it says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he says, how then will they call on him if they have not believed? How then will they believe in him who have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And then he says in verse 15, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Church, we're called to speak. It's easier for us to say, well, I just want them to see from my lifestyle, and they need to see from your lifestyle. But we're called to speak the word. I love in Acts chapter 2 when Pentecost happened, the fire of God fell down. And what did Peter do? Now, just remember, just a few days earlier, hey, weren't you one of those guys? No, I never knew him. Hey, weren't you one of those that followed Jesus? No, I never knew him. Three times, till the rooster crows, he denies Jesus. But just a few days later, when he's filled by the Holy Spirit, he stands up and he proclaims, he speaks God's word to all those around. And 3,000 come to faith that day. Church, we may not speak and 3,000 come to faith, but let me tell you something. We need to be speaking into the lives of our children and our grandchildren. And we need to be speaking God's word. But we can only speak it if it comes from our heart. If it comes from a love, loving him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. Not only does he tell us to speak it in verse 6 and 7, but then he says this in verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall bind them on the frontals of your forehead. Now, if you ever go to Israel with me, you'll see that some of the Jewish people will have boxes on their heads. And in those boxes are scriptures. And they're trying to fulfill, in some sense, this passage. To put the word, the Shema, written on their head. But can I tell you that I believe that they may have missed this just a little bit. Because I believe that this is not simply just saying, put a box on your head with the scripture. But it is that when somebody looks at you, they see the word of God. By the way you live this out. That they see the truth because you're living the word. How do we teach our kids? We teach them by speaking the word, but we also teach them by living the word. Now, for some of us parents, this is hard because it's easier to speak to your kids and say, do as I say, not as I... Yeah, that's real easy, isn't it? Any of y'all ever said that before? But the reality of it is that if we're telling them to do something we say but not as we do, that we're ultimately not holding the standard of that we truly believe this. We're called to live the word. I love what John 14:15, I shared it with you earlier. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength will be shown by the way that you follow His commandments, by the way you live your life, it will reflect the image and character of Christ. That's why I often say that my prayer on a Sunday morning is that when we leave here, we'll look more like Jesus than when we came in. That as we allow the word to wash over us, it gets deep into our hearts and it changes our behavior. Now, I'm not looking for just behavior modification. The reason that our behavior is changing is because we've had soul transformation, because all of our soul loves God. All of our heart loves God. All of our strength loves God. But then Moses goes on and says this in verse 9, you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When you go to Israel with me, you'll see that they put little boxes on their doors. And they put blessings in there, sometimes the Shema. You know, as I look at this, I'm just reminded of the fact that when we teach our kids, we need to be showing them. I believe that we need to say, hey, listen, let me show you what the Word says. Don't just take Dad's word for it. Don't just take Mom's word for it. Let me show you what God says. You know, I've shared with this with the church before, but there's a famous passage in Exodus that many of you know, and you probably quoted it to your kids, that says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you. I love that passage, part of the commandments, the Ten Commandments. I love that passage. Let me just take a side note and tell you a quick story. I was a kid at Cottage Hill Baptist Church, and we had just gotten done with our first D Now. I was actually at the Schultz house. I stayed there, and now Ms. Schultz is on staff with us. It's crazy that I was a kid at D Now at their house, and now we're on staff together. But I came home, and I got in my mom's car, and I was crying over everything that had happened at D Now. I told my mom, I said, Mom, the scripture says that if I honor my parents, that I'll live long. Do you think I can start now? Because I don't want to die tomorrow. But I share this with you to say that the scripture does say, honor your father and mother, that you'll live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And here's the thing. I tell my kids that they need to honor their father and mother. But how often do I tell them that that's not what I say, but that's what God says? How often do I show them that the reason that I'm speaking that is not simply that that's what I want you to do because I'm your father. It's because your heavenly father has spoken this word. How often do we literally take our kids and our grandkids to the scriptures and say, listen, this isn't just a good idea that I'm giving you about life. I'm not just simply telling you don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. I'm giving you God's word. Let me show you what He says. I don't want you to obey because I tell you. I want you to obey because your heavenly Father has told you. Parents, today, this is a tough message because we see here that we've got to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And in doing so, we're going to walk in obedience of that. There's going to be a reward of that. But then we're called to teach our children. And we're called to teach them by way of speaking it. We're called to teach them by living it. We're called to teach them by showing them the word. And for some of us in this room today, we're saying, man, I failed at this. Can I tell you, I failed at it. We all have in some sense. And as I've shared with you before, our goal, the standard is perfection, but our goal is growth. Some of you look out today and you say, well, my kid is 30-something years old, 40-something years old. I mean, hey, as I said to my mother in the car after D Now, can I start now? You know, today's always the best day to start. Not tomorrow. Even if your kid's 40 years old, you can continue now. You can start now. We have growth. Now saying, hey, listen, I love you and I love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, and I want to share with you why I said what I said back in the day. It's because it's what God's holy word says. But I also want to speak this because I don't want children to get off the hook today and say, well, my mom and dad didn't teach me those things. Can I tell you that every one of us are individually responsible before holy God? I can't ride into heaven on my parents' coattails. And nobody, my kids can't ride into heaven on my coattails. Every child is responsible before holy God. You know, you may say, some of the parents in here today may be saying, David, I raised my kids in a way that they would hear the word. I did everything that you just preached out of Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. What has happened? Why has my kid gone astray? And I'm here to tell you that every child has a choice. I've shared with you before, but I know of a dad who had two kids that loved them dearly. And I'm telling you, if there was a perfect dad, he was the perfect dad. And he is the perfect dad. Loved them, cared for them, gave them everything. And both of them went astray. His name was God, and his children were Adam and Eve. So parents, I don't want you to sit here and say, oh, woe is me, my kids went astray, what did I do wrong? What we need to say is, God, teach me, grow me, and I'm going to move forward today for the kingdom of God. But children in the room, which is all of us, we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow the things of the Lord? Or are we going to follow the things of this world? I want to close with an address specifically to every person as an individual, as a child. You say, well, David, I'm 72 years old. You're still a child, as the scripture says. Let me take you to an address in Proverbs 23, 22 through 25. This is what the word says. Listen to your father who begot you. Hey, that word is also used in John 3:16, right? His only begotten, he's begotten of the Father from all eternity. Well, you've only been begotten by your earthly dad for however long you've been alive. Listen to your father who begot you. I believe, first off, that that is speaking back to the one, the Father, who's pointing them back to the Shema. The Father who's pointing them back to what Moses spoke to them. Hear, O Israel, if you're listening, you're obeying. The Lord is our God. He is one. Love Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your soul. Love Him with all your strength. And then he goes on in Proverbs 23:22, do not despise your mother when she's old. When your mom is still sharing things of God's word, even though you feel like you're independent on your own, you've got it all made, you're 40, 50 years old, I don't need advice, I don't need wisdom, but yet your mother is opening God's word and sharing the truth. Do not despise the words that she shares from the Lord. It continues on in verse 23, buy truth, do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Where is wisdom? Where does it come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What did Moses tell the fathers? That when you are living out the commands, you're going to have reverence to the Lord. It says on in verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who raises a wise son will be glad in him. Children, let me just share this verse 25. Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her rejoice who gave birth to you. I know of no other way. Even if your mother and father has passed away, I know of no other way to make your father and mother glad and rejoice than to know that their child loves God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. There is nothing greater than that. As Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And he said that if you want to follow him, you must lay your life down. You must love him with all your soul. I'll never forget the passage in Scripture when the lawyer comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the Scripture say? And guess what the lawyer quotes? The Shema. And he says, you have said correctly. There's nothing that your mother and father could rejoice any greater than to know that their son or daughter loves God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength.